Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Oppo F7 and the Vivo V9, which are two phones which are quite similar, launched by two brands which are owned by the same company. They both feature the notch, which was first driven into prominence by the iPhone X, and they have roughly similar specifications, and they're driving a lot of interest in terms of like people who want to buy this phone. So to talk about these two phones, we have our reviews experts. That's Royden Sarejo.
Hey, what's up?
And Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So first of all, please tell me, why is this company called BBK Electronics, which has ownership of both brands, Oppo and Vivo, is launching two different phones at the same time, which are roughly around the same like price point, roughly similar specifications, and looks wise also they're quite similar? Why do you think they're like, you know, launching both of them at around the same time?
So I mean, they are owned by the same parent company, but as what these companies have always claimed, they do operate completely independently. Like, they don't share any designs or they don't share information. I mean, that's what they've been claiming, which is like, it's kind of hard to believe when you see, you know, phones like these launch at the same time. They look very similar, perform similar, and even priced very similar.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so the Vivo and Oppo both launched the first, two of the first affordable notch bearing Android smartphones in India recently. And I think it's gotten, especially the V9, I think has garnered a lot of interest, especially from some of the articles and the videos that we've done and even the comments that have come in.
Yeah.
A lot of people seem interested in this iPhone X-like smartphone.
Yeah, so first of all, let's just like quickly discuss the price of these two phones. Oppo F7, it costs how much?
Yeah, so the Oppo F7 is $21,990. Whereas the V9 is $22,990. Now, these are prices for 4GB, 64GB variants. The F7 has got one other variant, which is $26,990.
Yeah, $26,990 for the one with 6GB of RAM and 128GB of storage.
Okay, so the important thing to mention here is that like affordable means like between 20 and 25 in this case, because the all screen with notch design, that's I think so far limited to some really expensive phones.
Only one really expensive in India, at least.
Globally, I think there's that essential phone which is bought by like 7 people and you know, who paid like really high prices for it, and then the price was slashed to like 50% or something. But anyway, so all those jokes aside, the reason these two phones, at least in my opinion, the reason these two phones are like generating so much interest is because the 20 to 30,000 space in the Android world, somehow there are not that many great options in this.
Yeah.
It's probably a weak spot in the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So I think up to 20,000, pretty much like we have the likes of Moto and Xiaomi competing, and it's a pretty cutthroat market.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have like at least 4 or 5 really good options under 20,000, which like we can recommend to everyone. But if you look at it, there is suddenly between 20 and 30, there's a big gap, and then 30 plus you get the likes of OnePlus and maybe even Nokia 8
Honor
and Honor, so you have a lot of options there which are like really really good. But in the 20 to 30 space, like other than the phones which launched at like 30 to 35, and then have now been, due to like various online discounts, now available under 27-28 types, there is nothing much to recommend. So maybe that's why these phones are generating interest.
When looking at the price points, what I think is that when phones are above 30,000 rupees, the company kind of gets the money so they can innovate over there. Whereas for phones that are under 20,000, they get the volume. So they can, they still get a lot of money overall. Whereas in the 20 to 30, innovation is kind of slow because it is unpredictable. Like, people would look at phones that are less than 20,000 rupees and they get newer features a little faster, and they are inclined towards buying that phone. So that's kind of one of the reason why the 20 to 30 is a little dull. But when you look at the Vivo and the Oppo phone that they've launched, they do stand out from every other phone in there. I think the X4 is one other phone because of its glass body that kind of stands out.
Yeah.
But other than that, every other phone in the market at that price point still has the 16:9 aspect ratio. There are, I can't recollect a lot of phones
that means bezels at the top and bottom.
At the bottom. So very, very few phones.
Yeah, but these phones now, I personally at least feel they look quite similar. Like, okay, the Oppo is available in that red color, which sort of gives it a distinguishing look.
Yeah.
But both the phones, if I may compare them, I mean, the screen size is what, 6.23 and 6.3
so nearly
inches.
The same.
So yeah, nearly the same. The
honestly, notch, you keep them side by side, it'll be very hard to say which is the Vivo V9 and which is the Oppo.
Yeah, exactly. So the notch is also roughly the same size. Yeah, if you flip it around, maybe a couple of differences start to emerge. Both have that glossy back and that reflective finish, which is like a fingerprint magnet. Then at the back, the fingerprint sensor used by Oppo is maybe like of a slightly different shape than the one used by Vivo. And the Vivo phone has dual cameras. Maybe that's why it costs like 1,000 rupees more.
Yeah.
While the Oppo phone has a single camera, even if like the camera's performance is like not that different. So overall, yeah, I mean, quite similar. Even at the front, if you look at it, both the phones have a chin at the bottom. And we'll get to that in some time as in why they still retain this. But yeah, if you look at these phones, they look similar. And like in terms of specifications, I think the processors, even though they are different, I'm not sure like whether the performance is like that much better in the Vivo as compared to the Oppo phone.
Well, I mean, we are currently in the process of testing the F7, but so far it seems pretty similar. Maybe the F7 is slightly has a slightly faster performance in terms of at least benchmarks from what we've seen.
Yeah,
initially.
In terms of real-world performance, like it may not differ.
It's really hard to tell
much.
The difference, I'm guessing.
But this is actually Snapdragon and MediaTek because the Vivo V9 has the Snapdragon 626, whereas the Oppo F7 has the MediaTek Helio P60. So it's completely different, though I think architecture would be a little similar. I think both are octa-core processors with A53 chipset. So it will be, I think after we've completely tested the F7, we will be able to talk about performance. But so far the for the V9, it's pretty much in line with other phones. Like it's marginally faster than the Moto X4, which also has the Snapdragon 626. So that way it's similar.
Yeah, and also like I noticed that at least the Vivo V9 has a micro USB port for charging, right?
Yeah.
These companies have not switched to USB-C
yet. I think that is one thing that I missed, honestly, because for a phone that's 20,000 rupees, I think every other smartphone in that bracket, other than the ones made by Vivo, Oppo, and all, they have a Type-C port. So I think they should have updated. This would have been the right time.
Well, at least there's a 3.5mm headphone jack. So maybe they're going for the retro look with micro USB and 3.5mm jack. I definitely think these phones don't look bad. Like they look and feel wise, at least I'm like quite pleased with it. I don't know. What do you guys think about the build quality?
Well, super thin bezels on the V9. And I think even the F7 also has super thin bezels. And that is, I think, one of the most striking feature. The striking thing about these phones, that people in this price range want something that will stand out. When they're paying like 20,000 rupees, more than 20,000 for a smartphone, they would want the phone, like people to notice the phone. And this thing has really thin bezels. The only like comparatively thicker bezel is the one on the bottom. And I think that is the first thing that I would say.
That and also I think the weight, they're both really light.
Really light, yeah.
But I think that's also because they're both primarily plastic. There's no glass or metal like you get with the other phones in the same price range, like the X4 and even the A7, A5, A7 2016.
And those actually have IP rating as well.
And both of them are IP68.
Yeah, so neither of these Oppo
neither,
or
neither of these
V9
are water resistant
or dust resistant for that matter. Yeah, so now once you turn on the screen and start using the phone, there are some similarities with iOS, aren't there? Like they both, I think Oppo and Vivo use this custom theme sort of a thing.
Yeah, Oppo has ColorOS, but I think Vivo is definitely a lot closely inspired to iOS compared to Vivo.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what. So I use an iPhone on a daily basis. And the first thing I noticed was that when you swipe up from the bottom of the screen, from the right-hand side of the bottom of the screen, then it shows this thing which is called Control Center on iOS. I don't know what Vivo calls it, where like you can check, you can toggle the Wi-Fi.
I think it's called Control
Center.
It's called Control Center. if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so like you can toggle the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and you can like also adjust a bunch of things like the volume, etc., which is a feature of iOS. And then when you like open the, when you switch on the phone and you like look at the screen and all, there's no real like app drawer type system, right? You use the iOS system, which is all your apps are on screen wherever they're lying around, or you can arrange them in folders. And then you swipe down from the top of the screen and it pulls down that notification panel, which also looks quite similar to iOS. I mean, of course, like if you use iOS, then you'll be able to tell the difference. But these people seem to be going for that. Like, we'll appeal to the people who want iPhone, but who can't afford an iPhone crowd.
But that's always been their, I think, strategy, especially Vivo. I mean, you look at the phones for the past couple of years, all of their phones have taken elements and sometimes even like taken outright icons from iOS,
yeah.
I mean, even the icons and themes and animations are sometimes taken from some of the units over the past couple of years, taken straight from iOS. So I think they're definitely, it's intentional that they're going
that they're going for that look, right? Okay, so why don't you guys, I mean, all of us now talk about that face unlock feature, which has been like promoted so much.
So it's there on the V9, and I think the face unlock feature was there on Android, like built in long back. It's there in that smart unlock, any Android phone you have that. But after the iPhone 10, it's kind of gained importance when people, manufacturers have started advertising about the face unlock feature, and they've actually moved or, you know, built a completely different face unlock mechanism other than the one that's already present on stock Android. So on the Vivo V9, first of all, it does not have a dot projector and, you know, an infrared camera like it's there on the iPhone 10. And it only uses the primary, the selfie camera to, for, you know, the face scan. And from what I've experienced, it does unlock the phone like probably 7 out of 10 times. Only in low light is where it would probably kind of struggle and ask, you know, you might require multiple attempts to get it done. It also has that feature wherein it will bump the brightness, the screen brightness up so that it can illuminate your face. Or, you know, if you have failed attempts, you can bring it a little closer and ask it to scan again. Or honestly, you can just go ahead and unlock it using the fingerprint, which I found to be faster in most cases. So that's much better.
So Royden, you've used the Face ID thing on iPhone 10, right? So like, was your experience similar to what Aditya just described?
So I mean, the iPhone 10, I haven't really explored this too much on the F7 because I'm still in the process of testing it. But yeah, on the iPhone 10, it definitely works very seamlessly. As in, like, even sunglasses and stuff aren't really a hindrance to that. Which I don't think this would be the case.
Because they use some infrared sensor.
They use the infrared sensors, which I doubt would be the case with the F7. So that is something I need to test.
So face unlock is not exactly like maybe a similar feature to Face ID. Because they use different things to sort of unlock the phone. This thing is almost like trying to take a picture of your face and like whatever is there visible in front of it, it uses that data to unlock it. Which is why like there are a few false positives and some like times when even though it's your face, it doesn't unlock it. 7 out of 10 times is very frustrating. Like if that's the primary mode of unlocking you use. If you look at what iPhone 10 does, I think they build a model of your face and then like try and... I mean, there are false positives there. There are like times when it won't unlock, but it's not like 7 out of 10 for sure based on whatever like you've experienced.
No, but it also has that fingerprint scanner, whereas, you know, on the iPhone 10, if it doesn't unlock, that's the only way of unlocking, or else you'll need to go ahead
and enter the passcode.
PIN, the passcode. But for the V9, the fingerprint scanner is on the back, so you can just... quickly move your finger and
So with these phones, I guess like it's just good advice in general to just skip the face unlock feature entirely, use fingerprint or passcode.
While using it, yes, it does unlock it very, very fast, the Face ID. So in most cases, you can also just double tap the display and it'll scan your face and unlock the phone. It is fast, but at the same time, it does fail in low light. So if you are using it in the dark, you know, or in a room where you're watching probably a movie or TV or something, and that's the only light source, it would fail. Fingerprint as an option, like set it up, and like you have the face unlock as the first way of unlocking the phone. The second fallback would be the fingerprint, and then that's the, you have the passcode. So I think, set up a fingerprint scanner. Like, set up the fingerprint. Don't let it out.
So as of now, that face unlock feature is not of much use. So it falls in the gimmick territory. But I'm sure in a year or so, like, these companies will also, like, improve their tech and give the same thing at a much lower price. So there's one elephant in the room that we haven't really spoken about, and that is called OnePlus. So now, when we mentioned earlier that a company called BBK Electronics owns Oppo and Vivo, we did not mention that they also own OnePlus. So it's basically the same company which owns all three brands. And OnePlus, as we have spoken about earlier episodes, on earlier episodes of the podcast, they have slowly been bumping up their price and appealing to the enthusiast crowd on the higher end segment. They started with this OnePlus One phone, which was like touted as this phone with like amazing specifications at a super low price, I think around 15,000 to 20,000, yeah, if you translated the currency from US to Indian rupees. So yeah, it now slowly has been increasing the price, and the OnePlus 5T I think is close to 40,000, yeah, the higher variant at least. Now the OnePlus 6, which is not officially called the OnePlus 6 yet, we have some details about it through a report on The Verge, and that basically what happened is Carl Pei, who's the face of OnePlus as, yeah, described on various sites, he went and told The Verge that, okay, look, we are going to have the notch on the OnePlus 6 or whatever the upcoming phone is called,
yeah,
and we have it for certain reasons. Now, he went and preempted a defense of the notch. He says that the notch will give you an all-screen design as much as possible, but there will be a chin on most Android phones. He says that no Android manufacturer is going to skip that bezel at the bottom, which is also called a chin. Now, he gave a reason for this. He said that in the iPhone, what Apple has done is they've used some kind of a flexible OLED panel to move that component to the back. There's some logic board and a ribbon that connects to it, which is needed at the bottom somewhere. So Apple has like moved it around to the back, and that kind of increases the cost of manufacturing, and it also makes the phone a bit thicker. So those are the compromises that Android manufacturers right now are not willing to make. Because first of all, like if you're an Android phone maker, like you cannot afford to price a phone at like $1,000 and expect, yeah, people to like run around and like wait in queues and all to buy. Secondly, you also don't want to have a thicker phone because nobody really likes that, honestly. So yeah, for Apple, they could afford to do it because they knew that people would stick with their brand even if, you know, the phone was a bit thicker. But for Android manufacturers, like that kind of room for error is just not there. So Oppo and Vivo right now have that chin, and we can expect a similar chin in the OnePlus 6 also, I guess. Yep. And in terms of design, do you guys expect anything to carry forward from these two phones to the OnePlus 6?
I'm guessing it would have similar, maybe like a vertical dual camera,
yeah,
design.
And a rear-mounted fingerprint scan. I don't think they're going to drop it. That's what...
Yeah, I mean, it's if what was the Oppo R11?
Yeah,
the
that
new
was
one?
The one which was very close to the OnePlus 5, I believe.
Yeah,
so the latest one was... I think Oppo already has a new R series phone which is out. And everything points to the fact... I mean, given past how the previous OnePlus phones were very similar to those R series phones, we can, you know, take a guess and say that, you know, the design of the new OnePlus, whatever they're going to call it, would be very similar to Oppo's latest R series.
So the R15 was
R15
the latest.
R15 is the new
one.
Yeah.
So 6.28-inch display. So basically 6.3-inch display. So these are specs of the Oppo R15. And it does have a dual camera setup at the back, a notch at the top. And yeah, like you've said before, the chin is still there. So it's not going to be without a chin. And interestingly, the R15 is powered by the Helio P60. So something similar to the F7.
Yeah, here. But I think what's another interesting to watch out for is if OnePlus will finally ditch that 1080p display and go Quad HD. Because last year also they said, you know, given the price point that they wanted to target or whatever, I think a 1080p was enough for that thing. But then Honor sort of, you know, went ahead and gave, in the Honor 8 Pro, they gave a Quad HD display for a price that was even lower than the OnePlus 5.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not possible. So it's interesting to see if, OnePlus will finally ditch the Full HD display and go with a higher resolution display.
Yeah, so before we recorded this podcast, I think me and Aditya were having a discussion about the price of the OnePlus 6.
Yeah.
And I think, Aditya, you told me that you saw a leak somewhere which like suggested that the price will be higher, closer to like 45,000,
50,000. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, and that probably means that they'll have more room to include these kinds of features, which includes waterproofing and dust resistance, which was not there on the OnePlus 5, and the Quad HD display, which was again missing.
Well, it is possible if, you know, they are going to increase the price, they will have to show something like, you know, okay, no, we have put in a Quad HD display and it does have, IP67 or 68 water resistant, and that's why we are bumping the price up. If they're planning to just bump the price up and expect people to buy it, I'm not sure, because people are already talking about, you know, how OnePlus phones have gotten expensive over a period of time, and you know, people would talk about the OnePlus One, which was the first phone, which was like a flagship killer. Very good specifications for a lower price. And
yeah, I must clarify that it was their marketing line and it did not actually kill any flagships.
No, it did not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that is how it is. So, if they are going to increase the price, yes, they will have to add these features. Otherwise, the price bump isn't justified, because we know that phones with notches are available at lower price points.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Like, I was just thinking about it, and now that Nokia is also in the picture, I believe that Nokia is doing like much better in terms of pricing than OnePlus, for the simple reason that whatever price they announce in Europe, somehow they are able to meet like roughly a similar price in India. Whereas if you look at OnePlus, like the price has just been going up and up and up. And for like those who don't want to buy a phone that is as expensive, there are other options from brands like Nokia, which promise fast Android updates, and which also like give you a assurance of a pretty decent build quality and like overall a decent experience.
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah. I mean, OnePlus also have been fairly quick with their updates, but yeah, with Nokia officially partnering with Google for the Android One program, I think the Nokia makes a very good competitor, because you know, you get a good backing from Google, timely updates and everything, and solid hardware. So.
Yeah, exactly. So ultimately, that's what most people would ask for, right? Like, basically, my problem once again is that even though OnePlus is like pretty fast with its updates, I don't think they use stock Android, right?
Yeah, they use their own Android called Oxygen. OS.
Yeah. So that's probably the problem with all of these phones. Like, even though Oppo and Vivo, the F7 and the V9, they both ship with Android
8.1,
right? Oreo. It's pretty surprising, and sort of seems to indicate that like when these companies are now launching phones, they're also trying to get in the latest version of Android as much as possible.
Well, but what is something that we would want to wait and see is if these devices also get updates periodically, because most manufacturers, even those who launch the latest version of Android and probably the latest security patch at that point of time, after a period of time, you will see them dropping the ball when it comes to security updates, or you know, version updates are dropped altogether in most cases.
Yeah.
So that will be kind of a wait and watch for both Vivo and Oppo.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we'll see how things turn out. But so far, like, what do you think about these two phones? Are they like worth considering at this price point, or like are they just, you know, yet another, probably, you know, not so overwhelming.
So at least the F7 is like all other F series phones from Oppo is selfie focused, and that is the main highlight of the phone. And they seem to done some pretty good improvements compared to the F5 for the front camera. So you get now there's like something called real time HDR, which shows you the final effect of the HDR photo before you actually click the photo, which is nice, and a bunch of this added AR stickers and a bunch of other fun stuff. And the sensor and the quality also seems to have improved a bit, because from the short time that we spent with the phone at the launch event, it seemed pretty decent. Seemed to take pretty decent quality pictures given the really poor lighting in that arena. Apart from this front camera, like all these selfie focused phones, it's just an iterative update. So I don't think there's something that would really drive someone to get this phone if you're not like selfie crazy.
And what about the Vivo V9?
Well, with the Vivo, they haven't Vivo has changed their entire branding, you know, and it's focused at like camera and music. That was their tagline. So as for the V9, yes, it has that 24 megapixel selfie camera. And one of the features that they did talk about a lot during the launch event is AI beautification mode and stuff. So this phone does have the AI beautification on both the primary and the selfie camera. And you can also use it for video calling apps like WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger. There's no support for Duo at the moment. But, so that is something that they will push forward for that. But I think the best would be to read the V9 review. But apart from that, what I would say is if people would want, if you really care about how the phone looks and how it will feel in the hand, then you will like the V9 because it's something unique. It's not there in this price point, and you won't find a lot of people using phones which look like this.
Yeah.
So if you want that standout feature kind of a thing.
I've also heard that their AR sticker implementation is much better than what Samsung did in the S9.
Oh man, let's not get into that. Yeah.
Yeah, there was that fun sticker which like let you put a Rajasthani topi on your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I mean, you know, some of us looked really good.
Yeah. So you have, yeah, so AI, the AR sticker pack, I think it's there on both the phones and would be similar as well, I'm guessing. But yeah, it's fairly accurate, I'd say.
Yeah.
To get good All right, shots.
Yeah. Also, like, should mention that this is probably not the same as, like, even though it was a joke about the Samsung feature, these two features are not the same. AR sticker pack is more like your Snapchat filters, where, like, it would put objects on your face and head.
Yeah.
Whereas the Samsung attempt is more like to make an avatar from what you look like and, like, turn it into something fun. So, yeah, I suppose there's room for improvement in all of these. And we will actually be looking forward to the OnePlus 6 launch now that we've got a taste of what to expect from that phone. I think that's about it for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, do write to us with your questions, comments, and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. Thank you so much for listening.